Liquor Talk. Another brand new episode starts right now. So get your liquor ready, get it poured up, pour up your shot, whatever you like. And remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts at. I'm your man, Victor, today here in Florida. And today on this episode, this is the first international episode. My guest is joining me from Italy right now. That's probably one of the last places I would think somebody black would be in. But we got somebody in Italy right now. She is the host of the newly started Mull and Wine podcast, Dawn Melissa. Welcome to Liquor Talk. And thank you for joining me all the way from Italy. How you doing today? Can't hear you.
There might be a delay.
There might be a delay.
I can hear you. I think there's a delay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Okay. All right.
Can you hear me now? Well,
I can hear you.
All right. What I was saying was how does it feel to be a black person in Italy?
Well, I gotta say, it was never on my list to live in Italy. Never even a visit, to be honest. Like, it just, Italy's never been on my radar. So coming here, once I knew I was gonna be living here and I was visiting and stuff, it was all shiny and new and exciting because, I guess I was interacting with like Italians, real Italians, and experiencing delicious Italian food and wine. And there's some beautiful areas in Italy. So everything was just amazing. But also, it was a little overwhelming because I'm black. and I it's not just that they're like, oh, she's black, she's different. It's like the fascination. It was overwhelming. I wasn't used to having that kind of attention or scrutiny. And some of it was good. Most of it was, not so great. So in the beginning, it was like, I don't know if I can handle this. It was a lot. But 7 years later, it's just life. You know, people, at least in my town, people seem to have calmed down. More black people have moved here in my town. And then I guess more black people are coming to Italy. So, you know, it can still be stressful, but it's at least I can be a little more under the radar here than before.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. So talk about your experience when you first got there. Like, what was it like to be... Was it really bad to be under scrutiny?
Well, it's funny because I come from a background of like acting and filmmaking, and I'm also a middle child. So for me, oh, you should have told me. I could have had something to drink. Oh, you know what? I forgot to bring my wine. Like, of course, I should have wine. Let me. okay, sorry, I interrupted myself. I come from that background. So I was kind of liking being in the spotlight. I had to take on the role. Like, you know how Beyonce had Sasha Fierce. I had to become, I guess, Dawn Melissa more so, just to mask my anxiety or at least handle it, I guess, manage it more. And also... to just do, because like I said, it was a little bit overwhelming, the amount of attention, the amount of people who wanted to touch my hair or just touch any part of me without permission, zero boundaries, and then asking questions. And some of them, it was cool because they just wanted to speak English and they were like, oh, you're from Los Angeles. Like, they were fascinated with me being an American, that aspect. But then the other ones, it was clearly more about fetishization and, like, you know, racism and stuff. So, it, like I said in the beginning, there was the good and there was the bad and the overwhelming. Wow. 7 years ago.
That, That was amazing. How do you, that's crazy. You go, you grew up in LA and you end up in Italy. That is wow.
It's crazy because, like I said, it was never the plan. Basically, I went to London. I left Los Angeles because I was like, you know what? I don't know if I can commit my entire 20s to LA for film and TV and stuff. It was a lot. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to go to London and get my master's degree. And then, so I'm living in London and I say this on my own podcast too. Like, I'm like, I feel like those were the best years of my life. Like it was exciting. It was scary. It was so amazing and I loved it. And it's a huge city, obviously. And I go from this huge city and three huge cities, New York, LA, and London, to this tiny little town. And the culture, the square footage, the size of the town in comparison, which is why I felt like under this, like scrutinized or under the microscope, it was a lot. The adjustment was a lot.
Wow. That sounds like it was definitely a lot. And you're strong for making the adjustment. Now talk to the people about your podcast, the Mull and Wine podcast. What's your podcast about?
Okay. So like years ago, actually, when I was living in London, I had a web series on YouTube. It was called Come Wine With Me. And the premise of Come Wine With Me was me complaining, like literally just complaining about different things, like stupid things, you know, while getting drunk, like just drinking wine and getting drunk. And the purpose was to the more wine I drank, the more unfiltered and unhinged I was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like, it was comedy. That pure comedy is what I was all about. And that's kind of what I've brought to the podcast, except like I'm older now. I like to think I'll look at things a little bit more introspectively. I don't know, like everything's not so black and white and there's gray areas. And and also the things I talk about, like mull over, you know, obsess over, analyze, they're a little bit more grown up, I guess, a little bit more serious, I suppose. And I'm still drinking wine and, you know, I'm still drinking. So I'm still a little bit, I'm very much unfiltered still on the podcast. So I basically wanted to bring it back because I had so much fun. I was studying wine, specifically Italian wines in London. I was hosting wine tasting. And the more I learned about Italian wines, the more I was like, oh, I could be sharing this while also being funny, like getting to do my creative comedy stuff. And so I would review wines. I would talk about the wine and then also complain and be like, you know, you got to pair this mood with this wine or whatever. So I guess I'm still doing the same thing, like with more than just Italian wines. I feel like I'm going to do not all Italian wines this time.
I feel you. So sticking with wines, what's the biggest difference between Italian wine and American wine? Because I know you grew up in California, which is wine country. So what's the biggest difference between Italian wine and American wine?
Well, I have to be honest, the wine, I didn't know anything about it in America. I was definitely pretty much all whiskey and beer in America. I would go to wine tastings and stuff, and it was really just, let me try it. Like, knew nothing. Didn't care about the tours. I don't care about the vineyard. Just give me the wine. And, you know, I guess it's due to, like, being young and everything. So I didn't really know much about it. I would say that at least, I don't know, there's more options in where I am now in Europe. I have more access to more wines. Not, I mean, I suppose there's this international shipping of the wine to America from Italy, but I never would have known. I never would have realized, oh, this is an Italian wine living in America. So I guess I can't really effectively, coherently answer that question because I didn't know anything about wine.
It's all good. It's all good. Now talk about living abroad. Now, what's the biggest difference between living abroad compared to living in the States?
Well, I guess 7 years ago, I would have told you it's just you understand how other people who are not Americans, you learn very quickly what they actually think of us. They see that I'm talking 7 years ago. They see that we have, I'm talking more 10 years ago. They see that we have privilege, but we also, our education system, the way we do that, we're kind of like too outspoken, especially British people. They're like, they don't do things the way we, Americans just say what we say and we get to the point quickly. British people have a more like calmer, like not calmer, but like, I don't know. I want to say passive aggressive, but that sounds negative. They just have a different way of communicating. So when I would speak my mind and kind of honestly, not in a nasty way or just disrespectful way, but I would speak my mind like a normal American, it was a thing. It was a thing. And then came the, oh, you Americans attitude. And so that was a huge, because it's true, I guess you could say, when you're in America, you're thinking, I'm American. It's all about being an American. You know, like we're not thinking about the rest of the world, I suppose. And we don't know as much because our education system is bad, is what I'm trying to say. So it's true. They're right when we say, oh, when they say, you don't know anything, you don't care anything about the rest of the world. It's true. It's so true. And I had to relearn. I had to unlearn my American way of thinking and actually have an interest in other countries and cultures and how the rest of the world worked, especially coming to Italy, if I wanted to, I guess, survive or function here. The way we do things in America, like you have to let that go and adapt to the way they do things in, like, for me, it was England and then Italy. But nowadays, I would say the difference is I feel safer as a Black woman, just in general, outside of the U.S.
Really?
That's all I can really say.
So why do you feel safer outside of the U.S. compared to being in the U.S.?
Because of how quickly things, it seems like it's been very quick, like a blink of the eye, like for things to change in America. But with the laws, the police brutality, which I feel like I was never aware of growing up in America, like I just didn't know that it was so bad with the police and Black people. I guess I was in a little bubble, even in America. And women's rights, cost of living, everything just seems to have to be so terrible right now in America from where I'm sitting. And to the point where, like, you hear the Europeans when they say, oh, you Americans, I'm kind of nodding along now. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks really bad. Like, cost of living over here, and I'm not going to include the UK in that because they're suffering as well. But cost of living over here in Italy and other parts of Europe is like, it's doable. It's not, I don't know, the healthcare, like, it just seems like in a way is just not as dire over here as it looks in America. And then pertaining to me specifically as a Black woman, I feel like, what is this? Like no rights, no autonomy rights, no agency over my body, all of that being taken away in America. No, I don't want any part of that. So that's the biggest difference for me.
So what would your biggest advice be to anyone considering leaving America? Because yours truly over here is contemplating, because I see all the mess we got to deal with over here. And I'm like, is life really better off somewhere else? Because Do I need to become a passport bro and say to hell with all this mess?
No, don't say passport bro. That's a whole other thing. Don't be a passport bro. But I do think that if you can live abroad, try it, like do it. The biggest advice I would give you is research places where the cost of living is you know, attainable. Like, it's not so high and crazy. So you can be comfortable, I guess, without taking away from the people who live there and causing them to suffer. That's another conversation. But like, I would research, I would join. There's groups that they have now where they're like helping Black people get the information they need to leave America and live somewhere else. So I would definitely research countries, you know, job opportunities, cost of living, where you might feel, I feel like you're gonna feel safer probably anywhere else but America right now, but where you might feel a little safer as a Black man or Black person in general. I would do all that. And then of course, wherever you decide to go, make sure you, don't be like me. Make sure you study the culture, understand the norms first. And then, you know, if there's a language thing, get on that as soon as possible. Because that right now, that's, I have adapted, you know, I've figured it out, like in terms of how Italians do things. I've adapted, I've accepted it. Some of it's still weird to me, like, you know, but.
Okay, what's something that's weird to you?
I think my biggest kind of not gripe with Italians is, I guess a gripe, I suppose, or it makes me uncomfortable. Like, then everyone's always saying, oh, Americans have this individualism type thing and they kick their kids out at 18. And that's true. And that's weird. You know, that when you look back on it, it's like 18 is still a child. Why are you kicking me out of the house? Even 25 still feels like I'm a child. Let me live here in America, although that might be changing. But in Italy, they have that as well when it comes to like strangers or whatever, people they don't know. If I see something happening or whatever to someone, I might intervene, I might help them, or like even my neighbors, you know, it's like we're right here, we live right next to each other, but we don't interact. And so it just makes me wonder, I'm like, if there was a disaster, would we help each other? Like, I mean, in my head, I think, oh, I'm out of sugar, let me go see if my neighbor has some sugar, or I might be telling my age here a little bit, but like, let me see if I can borrow some eggs or whatever from the neighbor. But that's unheard of. Like, don't even, it's like, you're very weird. It depends. That's my kind of thing. I'm like, y'all aren't all that community minded either. And also, you know, if you grew up in the same town, you're not necessarily open to making new friends and allowing new people into your life. Well, that is a thing here in Italy, and other Italians would agree too. Like, they're like, I grew up with my friends. I've known them since I was five. I'm not in the market for new friends. And so being a part of a community and getting involved, and it's near impossible as a foreigner, but as a Black person, even more so. So that is, you know, I'm not going to be the token Black girl in Italy.
Please don't be the token Black. And that's the one thing I said, I don't want to be that token Black person, because I was that token Black person in high school. It wasn't fun, you know what I'm saying? I need to be around some more melanated people, you feel me?
Yeah, it's true. All my life was a token Black girl. I mean, it was uncomfortable, it was scary. Looking back, I'm like, I'm so glad I survived that. There's no way any of those white people had my back or would have helped me in any way. But I still had friends. But here I feel like in Italy, you're not going to be the token Black person. You're not going to be the anything, because these people have their friends and they're not interested in you unless they're an Italian man and they want to sleep with you, which that's a whole big thing. And this is where Italy is where I learned, oh, men and women can't be friends. Like, I never felt that way before in my life until I moved here. Because these Italian men, they let you know, if we're not smashing, don't talk to me. And that was another adjustment for me.
Wow. So I guess not. Now, you just told me the difference between Italian men and American men, because Italian men, they just direct with it. You see, American men, it's like we our actions would tell you that, hey, we want this to happen, and we're okay with being friendly and stuff. We, because we want to be friends and stuff, but I see Italian men, they're a little more direct with it, huh?
They are, you know what, on the, I guess on the one hand, it's like, at least I'm not wasting my time. There's no games being played, I suppose. On the other hand, it's real disrespectful. It's like they're letting me know you're not even human to me. You're parts, you know, like that's what I got from it. Because I have actually had completely platonic, no romantic interest, male friends. And I never felt so disrespected by men. I feel like I was never disrespected by men until I moved to Italy. To the point where I actually said this to an Italian man once, and he looked at me and he's like, really? Like, how is that possible? That's how far behind mentally these men are. Here, the patriarchy, all that misogyny is like 100 times worse here. And it's out there. It's just out there for you to see. There's nothing hidden about it, no secrets. And a lot of the women kind of like uphold it. Either they don't recognize what's going on, or they're like, well, that's just how it is here. That's their mantra. That's just how it is here. That's all they ever say.
And they're just okay with it?
I don't know if they're okay with it. I don't know if they're okay with it. I think a lot of them don't realize it. They don't know, don't recognize it. Because even in America, all over the world, women are just learning to decenter men and like recognize what's going on and kind of realize we shouldn't be playing second fiddle and everything shouldn't revolve around men. Okay. All over the world, we're just kind of learning that. I probably never would have seen any of it, you know, and if I hadn't moved to Italy. So they kind of taught me something here. But I think some of them do kind of uphold it. Like, they're like, what's wrong with it? I don't know. And when you got those type of people, there's no arguing with them. There's just, okay, let you live in that reality and I'll be over here. Cause these Italian men, even if I call them out on it, they see nothing wrong with it. And I know part of that is fetishization of me as a Black woman. But another part of it is that, yeah, you know, you're just a woman. You are just a woman.
That is sick. You know what I'm saying? That's something that I'm like, you know what I'm saying? We all have our intentions, but even if something don't happen, I have plenty of women that I'm still cool with, you know what I'm saying? If nothing happened, you know what I'm saying? But because over here, we know how to be friends, and you never know when you need a friend, right? But I guess over there, it's a little more Black and white over there.
It's definitely more Black and white over here. Like like I said, first of all, they have their childhood friends growing up. And there might be some people. The thing is that I feel like I've met some people a few, very, very few, who have been a little bit more like open-minded, forward thinkers, but they're still a part of that group. So they haven't quite been able to, you know, be on their, like, branch out, learn more, discover more. Sorry, my wine has arrived. I ordered wine and it arrived. But yeah, they haven't been able to exactly totally get out. Unless they lived out of the country, then there's a different mentality there. But I know they're not all like that. It's just hard to get them away from the crowd to do their own thing. And that's the other thing. A lot of Italians have told me, I'm not going to say all in case there are Italians listening. So not all Italians and not all men, but a lot of Italians have told me that, you know, for the most part, they care what other people think. And so they are afraid to try new things because it's just not how it's done here, I'm quoting. And that is huge for me. Like I never care what people think. I've never been that girl. And so it's never been hard for me to stand out and be the oddball out and be the weird one. Like I said, I'm a middle child. I've always been weird. So that is bizarre to me.
Yeah, I feel you. Even come from being the oldest, you know what I'm saying? It's definitely bizarre. And hearing it is so bizarre. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Go ahead, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Is there a part of you that misses America? Do you miss your family and friends back in America?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, there is a part of me that I definitely miss my family. I think after, and I'll tell you, I haven't been back to California in 10 years since the day I left. So it's not, I don't think there's anything that I really miss there except for the beach and the sunshine, but I can get that here in Italy. I go to the sea pretty often, but so I don't know what I missed there except maybe access to other Black women and like knowledge of what's new in terms of the beauty industry, like hair, makeup, clothes. Like I see them on TikTok and I'm like, dang, I wish they shipped to Italy because I can't get like different products and stuff that I would want. So I miss that, but I miss my family. I miss my mom. And that's really it. No, I miss some food. I miss food. I miss American food, like Black American food so much. I try to tell these people about baked mac and cheese. I swear the first time I made baked mac and cheese for Italians, they still can't wrap their head around it. Like, cause you know, they're the pasta people. They are.
Yeah, they're the pasta people.
Yeah, they're like, you're taking pasta and you're putting it in the oven? What is this? I don't understand. And it was cute at first. You know, it's like cute. Oh, I'm introducing something to you from my culture, from my country. And I thought, oh, you know, the sharing of ideas, the exchanging of cultural stuff. Listen, my pauses indicate that I'm trying to keep from cursing because I don't know if you curse.
No, go ahead, cut loose.
Oh, okay. Because I curse. I'm like, I'm thinking we're doing an exchange of ideas and whatever. They're judging me. They're like, this is wrong. This is disgusting. What is this? But then they eat it.
They
and they're
even
like,
try it.
No. They eat it. But it's a whole conversation. It's like, first, before they eat it, they're like, what is this? Like, why would you do this? Why would, you know, and then I make it and it's not as good as my mom's or my aunt's or my sister's, of course, but like, this is what I have. I give you this. And then they eat it and then they're like, okay, it's good. But then they're still like, but it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you do that? But you should hear them talk about pineapple on pizza. Do never tell an Italian you're going to have pineapple on pizza. They will blow a gasket. They will not stand for.
They blow a gasket on pineapple. Now, I'm one of those people that I don't like pineapple. I'm not crazy on pineapples on pizza, but I'm not about to blow a gasket to my people who like it. If you love it, go for it. I'm not going to trip about it, but they trip about that.
Yeah, I was very surprised. It's aggressive. It's aggressive how they hate that pineapple and pizza. It's like the thing. It justifies their not hatred of Americans, but their like judgment of Americans. It's the first thing they'll tell you. What don't you like about Americans? They eat pasta, they eat pineapple on pizza. They're crazy. I have to agree. I never like pineapple and pizza.
Yeah.
I'm just not that serious about either. It. You know?
Yeah,
you don't like pizza?
No, I like pizza. I just don't like pineapples on pizza because it just tastes weird to me.
It is weird. But the thing is, if you ever come to Italy, and what's normal to them is probably going to be very different to us because the most I ever did with pizza was like pepperoni and like green peppers and pepperoni, right? That's me. They don't have that here. They'll look at you like you're crazy. They're like, it's what are you talking? There's no such thing as pepperoni. They call the pepperoni the green peppers. And so that's different. So I'm like, I have to adjust my palate. But some of the things they put on their pizzas, in the end, it tastes good, but it's still like, what is this? You know, I'm trying to think of an example.
Wait, what do you want on the pizza? that made you like, what the hell?
All kinds of things. I go to this place where they, and I love this place, this pizza place, where they just, the people just bring around trays of pizza and they're like, do you want this one? You say yes, you say no, you want this one, yes or no, whatever. And it's endless. It's bottomless pizza, I guess, until you don't want any more. And very affordable, by the way, like so cheap to eat here. But the one thing that's like my favorite pizza right now is pumpkin, like pumpkin and cream on your pizza. It's delicious. But you don't have that here. No, pizza, regular pizza.
Yeah, that sounds like a dessert pizza to me. Pumpkin and cream on a pizza. That sounds like a pizza you eat at dessert for dessert or something.
I can understand that. I get it. You know, it's how they feel about our cornbread. They're like, no, this is, I make cornbread for them, some Italians here, and they're like, oh no, this is for the end, right? This is like for dessert with our coffee. And I tell them, no, that's not dessert, honey. That goes with the meal. Cornbread.
So have you made the fried chicken and collard greens for them?
Oh, I did. No, not collard greens. I have not. There's no, as far as I know, there's no collard greens here. So I haven't had that in 10 years, and that's sad. But I have made the fried chicken.
How'd they take the fried chicken?
Again, a very new experience for them. It's almost delightful watching them try something new. And I think they liked it. I remember them saying they liked it and it was good. But I don't know if they were humoring me. You know, I'll tell you this much. Not all, but pretty much every Italian I've met personally, when they go to other countries, when they do travel, they eat Italian food.
What the hell is wrong with them?
Not all. I would just put that out there. But like, that is my experience. Also, when they move to other countries, they only have Italian friends. Do you see what I'm saying about the...
Yeah, the it's like, they're very closed-minded, you know what I'm saying? Like... Now, I would think the same way. I'm trying to go somewhere where the black people are, but I would be open-minded. I mean, if somebody of another race wanted to be friends and wanted to show me the ropes, I wouldn't be oblivious to it, but I definitely want to see my black people first, but I'm still open-minded to where I see somebody of another culture help me out. I'm definitely going to show them some love.
Yeah, same. I mean, I came here definitely wanting to make Italian friends, for sure. Like, I went after that. And I did it also when I was in London, living in London with, you know, British people, but oh God, I can't even, but it's just, you know, but I also wanted black friends. Yeah. I'm like, especially black female friends. It was an opportunity to branch out from what I was used to back in America. But the first and foremost, I want to engage with the people who are from that country. I want to engage with that culture. I find it very odd that you live in a place, like certain people that I know, like you live here for 10 years and you only have Italian friends. It's very odd.
Yeah, it is very odd. But, you know, you have some people here in America that are setting their ways to, you know what I'm saying, not really want to be out and stuff. So
that's true.
I'm going to shift to a personal. How's the dating scene there? Because I know you told me how the men are fashion and stuff. Did you stumble across the one yet over there, or how is it over there?
I will say, like I said before in the beginning, it was very overwhelming the amount of attention that I got. That was mostly from Italian men. I'm not saying I was ugly growing up, or that I got no attention from men, but I never experienced anything like that. It was very overwhelming. And then it was also a little flattering, you know, like, okay, I guess, so, you know. And I think personally that a lot of Italian men are very good looking. They're very attractive. You're not going to find a lot of tall ones. And many of them look alike with like the dark hair, the brown eyes and the beard. You know, the facial hair or whatever, but So I have good things to say about Italian men, but I also would tell any Black woman, and I'll get to my thoughts on Black men, but like I would tell any Black woman to use discernment, when it comes to Italian men, like watch the way they talk to you, watch their body language, watch how they treat you in public versus private, because they can, even though they'll let you know that they're not trying to be your friend, like even if you're open to dating them or whatever, it's still a level of respect that you have to make sure they give you as a Black woman. And that might be, like I said, the being fetishized was new for me. I knew I never experienced that in the past. Like I've never felt, like I said, like an object in my life until I moved to Italy. So no, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think depending on where you go in Italy, you might have some difficulty dating, but it's not impossible. But most importantly, don't let that be your main objective coming to Italy, because you're probably going to be disappointed. Like that shouldn't be your main objective. Let it happen if it's supposed to happen.
Right. Now that part I definitely agree with. I've had to take a step back on some things and just, you know, just let them happen, you know, just roll with what was working and just let it happen. So I definitely feel you there. And I mean, do you see any brothers there?
Yeah, I do. And again, it's so lovely living in Europe, because you're seeing Black men who aren't American, like from all over the world. And it's so lovely, like not just Black men, but like Black people in general. Like you're like, wait a minute, there are Black people in Ireland. And then like, you're actually Irish, you know, you were born here, you're Irish. And it's just so lovely, like doing that. But okay, Black men in Italy, I have only met maybe one or two Black Americans, Black male Americans. Everyone else has been, you know, like from different countries or whatever. Most of the Black men that I've met are Nigerian, which is fine. Obviously, I think they have a lot more luck, obviously, with women here than with Italian women or women in general here than Black women do the other way around. But it's still a matter of like respect and, you know, because you could get yourself an Italian woman and it could be just a casual thing, no intention of you getting married or even sharing that generational wealth or whatever. You know, just that sexual object, that could be what they want, like what those women want. It's entirely, like anywhere, it's entirely possible for Black men to be reduced to their size. The other really weird thing that I have encountered so much with Italian men is how openly they ask me about the size of Black men, of their member. You know what I'm saying?
What is wrong with them men?
The obsession with
that is disingenuous. Hell no. I'm not, even as a man, I don't even think about that. What the fuck is wrong with them men? Asking about another man's size.
And it's specifically Black men too. It's like, and these are straight men. These Italian men who are asking, they're straight. So it's not like they're...
They sound gay to me. I know you say they're straight, but they sound gay to me. Hell no.
It's true. The most I'm wondering about like another woman is, I don't know. I don't think about that. Like, I'm not wondering what another woman like feels like, you know, or whatever. So it is weird. It's weird. And it made me so uncomfortable because I'm just like, why are you asking? I feel like I would still be offended if it was, you know, a white woman asking, but I'm less, you know, creeped out by it. Yeah. I'm less creeped out because it's true. I have wondered about other men, like how old they might be in, you know, in bed or whatever. Like, are they generous? Are they selfish? Or, you know, whatever. Are they 2 seconds? Like, whatever. You wonder those things as a woman, and you might ask another woman that. But as a man asking me about other men, specifically their size, it was very weird. surprising.
Listen, I done had porn stars come on. I done had adult entertainers come through the podcast. I ain't never asked them no shit like that. That's just unhuman to sit here and ask a woman about another man's size. That's just unhuman. You know, I might ask a question like, does size really matter? But I'm not about to ask them about specifically a man's size. This man's size, that's unhuman.
And I've told them, like, because, you know, I'm not going to answer that question. I say size doesn't matter. What you need to be worried about is whether you're pleasing the woman you're with. Like, do you like the woman that you're with? You like her as a human being? Are you actually attracted to her? Or if you don't like her, if you don't care about her, then first of all, leave her alone. But secondly, if you know what you're doing, then the size doesn't matter, you know? So I guess I got a little bit protective of Black men in that respect. It's probably the first time that I ever thought about Black men being with non-Black women. Like, it was just never something I cared about before. Again, my whole mentality changed when I moved to Italy. It's like all these facts and truths about the world were thrown in my face, and I had to grow up, I guess, come out of my bubble, because it's crazy.
Is that something that people wanting to travel abroad is going to experience the truths about things that you just gonna have to come out your bubble about?
You're definitely gonna, and the thing is, yeah, you're definitely gonna have to come out of a bubble when you move out of America. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I was born there. So I've seen the real world, you know, like in terms of how like Black neighborhoods. Then I was pulled out of that and I went to white schools and had to learn to code switch and all that kind of stuff. And everything that you knew about the world was happening on the other side of the block or the train tracks, whatever, so to speak. So I was in that bubble away from the real world, like what happened to Black people, what happened to, you know, misogynoir, all that kind of stuff. I wasn't understanding. I wasn't seeing it because I was always with the white people. And and in reality, just completely left when I went to film school, because I'm living in my bubble of make-believe, you know, and these are the people that I'm in the world with, the other creatives, the other filmmakers, the other writers. And again, the real world, you know, doesn't exist, even in California. You know, I would say, yes, I'm broke, but I'm like bougie broke, you know, like none of it mattered because I'm in my world of make-believe. And when you go outside of America and you realize what other people think of Americans, that's the first blow to your ego, the first blow to your, like the first, you know, sign of reality, like the reality check that you have to get. And that sucked. That really sucked. Like that reality check was really hard to accept. And then you kind of you start to see relationships, male and female relationships, and how they actually have been for other people. I might have known it sooner if I was more of a dater, if I dated, you know, in America, but I didn't. I was, you know, in long-term relationships. I never really dated. To be honest, I guess I don't really have a lot of experience with different men. So I didn't understand anything. I feel like if I had, I told someone recently who's like really good at dating. I said the 1 year, maybe it's like 1 year of being single and I was trying to date, I got played so much because I had no idea how men acted, how I was supposed to act, like anything. I was just super innocent and naive and trusting and, like, you know, I got played, you know. So that, but then it was like, okay, that was that. And then I'm in relationships, long-term relationships after that. And I never really looked back at it. But now it's like, okay, I see that there might be a lot of issues in the Black community between Black men and Black women. I see that now. Like Black women being expected to stay in the race, we only be with Black men, but then also having to settle. And then, but when we go out and date other people or have higher standards or whatever, then it's a problem. We're the problem. And I never thought that that's how men thought of us. And I never thought that Black women were ever settling or ever believing that they can only be with Black men, or that Black men were the only people that could love them. Didn't learn any of that till I moved to Italy. Not even Black Americans, but like non-American Black people. They're the ones that have been sort of showing me this. And then of course there's TikTok. So
yeah,
there you go.
TikTok, they're trying to ban over here, you know what I'm saying, which don't make any sense. I'm like, all these damn issues we got in America, y'all trying to ban TikTok, but that's another conversation for another day. But I definitely feel you. It's like, it's definitely an eye-opener, but and even as me, growing up over here, it's like, I've always just been loyal to my sisters, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I haven't even looked away of another race woman, because I graduated from a HBCU, so it's like, it's kind of hard to look at the other races of women when they were all right there. You're like, God damn, one day. But and I kind of feel you on being single and getting played. And it's just, you got to a point where you just chilling now. You know what? I ain't doing nobody, because we don't know if you trying to be a player, you trying to be real, or you might be real until your ex-boyfriend show up. So it's
wait. Oh, you mean for you?
It's for me, for a lot of people I know. Huh. Over here. Oh, I see. I don't know how it is for you right now.
Oh no, I'm not single now. I'm not single, but I did get lucky. I got a good Italian. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say it like that. But I did. I got one who was traveled. Like I met him basically his first day going to L. Like he went to LA. He was at my favorite bar his first day. I said, "Oh, okay, you're Italian," and okay, cool. And I said, "Well, you're mine. You're done. You're not going to meet anyone else while you're here on holiday." And okay, I didn't say those words, but that's how that worked out. I don't think if I'd come to Italy and met someone who'd never left the country, never seen a Black person before, like I don't think it would have been for me a positive experience. I think if I was single here in Italy now, I would still be struggling, trying not to get played and dealing with that, like dealing with the craftiness of men, but also dealing with the fear of being like disrespected, fetishized, and all that kind of stuff, like as a Black woman. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't want to discourage Black people from exploring Italy and experiencing it and staying open to Italians, because things are changing. Like the more diverse this country becomes, despite, you know, certain people trying to present it or prevent it, that's fine. The more people have to learn, the more Italians are going to have to learn and accept and hopefully embrace us or whatever. So things are changing. Probably the younger generation is helping to push that forward and change things. So you honestly never know what you're going to get. Just protect yourself, like stay safe and be discerning, whether you're a Black man or a Black woman.
Yes, Black people, we got to protect ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Because no matter, it's getting crazy everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Because I read somewhere where they got a whole bunch of countries got ships lined up in the Red Sea right now. So it's getting crazy, y'all. They trying to go to war and stuff, but
it is.
So it's crazy. So what's one thing you wish you would have did differently before traveling abroad?
One thing I would have done differently. Well, like I said, the first place I went to was London, and I was in grad school there. So everything, I'm not gonna lie, everything from moving to London, because I was I was a part of a school system, so pretty much was taken care of for me, and that was very easy going there as a student. And then moving to Italy was also all taken care of for me because I had an Italian and his family handling all that for me, so that was all easy. But I do wish that I had done a little bit more research, you know, when it came to living in England, like done a little bit more research on British people, so I wouldn't have been so shocked at how closed off they are, despite their lovely, polite accent. Like, I missed a lot of the sarcasm, a lot of the passive aggressiveness, a lot of the insults. I missed because I didn't really, I thought, oh, British people are so nice. You know, their accents, because they sound so nice. Like, I missed a lot of it, went over my head. And I wish I'd done more research on that. I also wish I'd like found out more about Black British people before going, because they definitely hurt my feelings going over there. Like, you can't just walk up to a Black British person and be like, we're friends, we're the same. No, you're not. You're not. And they will let you know. They're even more closed off to you as an American and as a Black American than the white people would be, in my personal experience. You're not getting invited to their home. I don't care how many years, I don't care how many years you know a Black Brit, you're probably never going to get invited to their home if you're not one of them, you know, Nigerian or something, like, just for example, which is, you know, I had to accept that, just how it is.
That's real. That's real. excuse me. So what's your plans for your podcast?
Plans for my podcast. What I really want to do is kind of reach a community of people, you know, especially women, to kind of laugh and kiki with, but also maybe tackle some of the things that we kind of go through that we might be experiencing. I'm hoping to, I've always wanted to be a part of like a community of Black women and get to know them and find out more about them and their lives and stuff. Like, before, when I first moved here, I had these projects going on where I was trying to connect with other Black girls in Italy, and it was going fine for a while. And then it was kind of new, but then more Black women started doing it, especially Black American women. And they, you know, so now they're doing it, and that's good for them. I love that for them. They were able to make it into a bigger thing than I was. So that's what I want now, again, for Mull & Wine podcast. I want to find out about the stuff that other people can't let go of. Like, we should let go of, but we won't be able to until we like analyze it and really like talk about it. Cause I don't know if you're like this. I don't know who else is like this, but I have like cringe memories, you know, from years and years. And I have a lot of them. I've always been in an awkward situation at one time or another in my life. And it's funny to tell those stories. It can be cathartic to share them and just not have them, you know, in my head or in my heart, just for myself to cringe at every 2 seconds. So that's what I want. I want to share those stories, and I want other people to share their stories so we know that we're not alone. Like, just cringe. I'm sure there's something cringe that you did as a child, or not a child, but you've done in your life, something that's happened to you. And you know, and you maybe keep it to yourself, or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe people know about it.
I have plenty of cringe stories. I've shared them on other podcasts. Some cringe stories have kept me from reconnecting with other podcasters as well. So it's some things, it ain't no grudges or nothing like that. I'm not sitting here mad with the person, but I'm just like, because of this cringe story, this situation, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to reach out to you again. You know, so I definitely
I definitely have that too. I think that because of the fact that I keep going over it and over it in my head, and it's just me thinking about it, I always doubt myself. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed. This is my fault. Meanwhile, they get to move on and not think about me or the situation when they also contributed to the cringe, you know, to the issue, but I'm the one who hasn't let it go. And I feel like, I want to bring more people into that so we can all share our stories and we can all hopefully heal from it and let it go while we're drinking wine or whatever you want to drink.
Listen, I might need some wine for these stories, but I definitely agree. We all have the cringe stories that we all let go of. Meanwhile, this person probably living their best life. They might be, if you run to them in person, they might be happy to see you. And they don't understand it when they get that death stare from you or they just get the cold shoulder from you. And they not understanding why. I'm like, maybe because I've healed from it, but I've just determined I'm not going to, associate with you.
Yeah. Or if you're like me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got it.
Oh, I was saying that, you say death stare or cold shoulder, or if you're like me, you kind of run or hide or just have that. I know the face that I make when I'm uncomfortable or when I'm remembering, like I do this face and I can feel myself doing the expression. I can't stop it. And it doesn't go away. It's just, there was a very embarrassing situation that I was in with a person, and and every time I would see this person, they'd be like, "Oh, hey, Dawn, how are you?" And my face, me remembering that that embarrassing moment, and then after a while, they would notice it, and they would be offended. They would be offended by my expression. It was an interaction, a physical interaction that was just so cringe, and I think they took offense to it because they're realizing that I'm not proud of that moment. And they're like, oh, maybe feeling inadequate. But finally they left me alone. And I was like, good. Cause that is so cringe to me that moment happened.
It's
bad. It's
we all have it's our so bad. Bad. All have our bad cringe moments. So tell the people why they need to subscribe to your podcast.
Please subscribe to my podcast because it's going to be funny and lit, I guess. Are we still saying lit? I've been out of the country. We're still saying lit? Okay. It's going to be funny. It's going to be lit. Hopefully it'll be informative. Like, I mean, I'm not trying. Like, I know I haven't really cursed a lot here. I've barely had a glass of wine. So it seems like I'm going to be all tame and vanilla and shit like that. I'm not. Like I said, I am unfiltered, sometimes unhinged, and I just like to have fun. And I would love for people to kind of join in and have these unserious discussions with me while we get a little tipsy.
Yeah. See, now when you bring me on, you just got to let me know when, and I'll definitely have some liquor to go with the wine. Because even though I'm in the United States, I'm in Florida, the United States, I'm just a DM away. That's the beautiful thing about technology. We can make shit happen, even though we five a country, a whole continent away and stuff. So whenever you're ready to have me, bring me on. I'm ready to go.
Definitely. I think I've been following you a while. It just took me some courage to finally be like, oh, hi, bring me on as a guest. So I'm glad that, because I definitely want you on Mull & Wine. And, that'd be good. What are you drinking?
I'm sipping a wine cooler, a little Mike's Hard lemonade. Ain't nothing special. Only because today I didn't get a chance to go to the liquor store, you know what I'm saying? Because the liquor store wasn't open this morning, so.
I'm not making fun of you. I just haven't heard of Mike's. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't heard of Mike's Hard Lemonade in so long. Like, you just took me back. You took me way back. That's kind of cool.
That's what's up, you know what I'm saying? Well, that should tell you it's been so long. Maybe you need to take a trip to America when it's not so crazy.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm hoping it'll calm down soon. I'm nervous, though, about Florida. I don't know. Y'all, they're taking away a lot of stuff.
Hey, you gotta thug it out in Florida. Hey, the beaches are still here. They ain't take away the beaches, so They ain't take away the big cities yet, so.
They'll never be able to take those away. I did want to say I was kind of jealous when you said that you went to a Black school, historically Black college or whatever. Looking back, I remember when I finished NYU, I was like, dang, I should have gone to a Black college. Like, that would have been my opportunity to meet Black people who think like me. You know, Black people I met at NYU, they think different.
Yeah, listen.
They think different.
I might have to bring you to a homecoming. You'll be surprised.
Oh, and I'd be seeing stuff like the sororities and the fraternities and stuff. Like, we didn't have that at NYU. I don't think so. So I missed out on a lot.
Yeah, but so hey, much. It's never too late to catch up.
Is it? Are you sure? Because I mean, y'all have made your connections. You got your lifelong friends now that you went to college. I have nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, you still make connections just because you have your lifelong friends. But some of those friendships fall off. You grow apart from those, so you gotta make new connections to retool and always meet new people. So never too late.
That's true. You're right. Except it's a little difficult here, like I said, in Italy, because these people are like, I'm good. And basta. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Well, Don, I want to thank you for coming, joining the Liquor Talk. I know we in America, you made time to come from all the way from Italy to make this an international episode. I definitely appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody listening, the subscribers. We pushing for 300, y'all. We'll be there soon. Until next time, we out this thing, y'all. Peace.
How do I get out? Okay.